everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about episode 2 of season 4. That's right. It's a new episode. Finally. Is it any different than the last episode? Not really. But it's massacres and matinees. And it, the last episode should have been like 2 episodes. That's neither here nor there. I'm here with Miss Shadow Lovely and Slowbeef. Hey, gang.
Hello.
Hi.
Slowbeef, maybe a little worse for wear, but we're going to make it through.
Landed from Ireland today. My wife tested positive for COVID. Maybe, who knows? We're going to just power through it. Maybe I'm sick. Maybe I'm jet lagged. Maybe it's all of them. Baby, let's do it.
That's right. So if Slowbeef says something fucked up, he's allowed to do it once this episode. them's the breaks. But yeah, we have a wild episode to get into here. Twisty makes a friend, and I can't believe that that's part of this episode. One of those things where, like, I remembered the entirety of the episode, and then the part where also Twisty was in it just hit me like a rock in the head, and I can't wait to get there. I hope it hits you like a rock, too, our listenership.
Yeah, that's the kind of delightful thing about Twisty is, like, we've had so many seasons where the B-plot has just been a slog, just like a nightmare for us to have to like segue from the main plot into dealing with. But Twisty's a delight. He's just like a little guy, and he's always having like a little adventure, and sometimes he crosses paths with the main characters, and he's usually having a pretty good time. Yeah, that's true.
By the way, big guy, but I get, you're totally right though, that like, yes, he's
a little guy in spirit. In practicality, he's an enormous man. An absolutely enormous man.
Big little birthday boy energy somehow.
Yes,
yeah.
100%. It is his birthday every day of the year, and I don't have any evidence to prove that that's not true. So he will continue to be my beautiful son who has every disease. And I love him. I love him a lot. So the episode starts with like a weird tone. It starts 2 days after murdering the police officer. The only way I was able to glean this information, because they don't give us like a title card or anything, is that it cuts to all of the circus performers sitting at like one of their like big outdoor eating table area places, listening to the radio. And the radio explicitly goes, 2 days ago, a cop was murdered, and we're going to find who did it. They didn't say like that.
The boys in blue are out for blood is part of what they say, which, like, I guess it was a different time, but rarely do the cops out loud say, we just want to kill someone. But apparently they're built different here in Florida or whatever, and they're just like, yeah, we're going to kill someone. It's going to be cool.
Which is wild, because like I think they say on the radio, like, they don't know that a cop has been murdered. They just know a cop is missing. Yeah. But they're like, we're going to fucking kill somebody. Yeah. No questions asked.
We're sick of having a serial killer, and also a cop got too drunk and crashed his car in the woods. And we're going to blame that on someone, I guess. So the cops all pull up to the circus where everybody's just like sitting down at a table doing arts and crafts, like it's like a church camp. I don't know. It's weird. And then the cops show up and it hard cuts back to the diner, I think.
Get a weird, like, it's like a spliced in scene that is really bizarre. I'm like, we didn't need this scene to introduce
this guy.
It's the weird
little toy shop man.
Yeah.
I forgot about the weird little toy shop man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They were like, we got to introduce this guy. And I'm like, you don't. Like, he's going to be gone as soon as he, like, shows up. Like, I don't need, like, foreshadowing for the weird little wiener boy.
Guy basically go to the diner and be like, I don't even know why I'm at work. Business is terrible. No one's letting their kids go to the toy shop when there's a murderer on the loose. And then we're like, okay. And then that's it. Later on, he will appear in a toy shop and, spoilers, he'll get killed there. So, like, this scene is fully handled by the other scene. It really doesn't need the setup.
It's so that when he does get murdered, we're all going to be like, no! Guy from the diner that we saw for literally 3 seconds.
I was pulling for him and his business, damn it.
I thought he was going to do it. He's going to make it on his own. His boss was going to give him the shop. And so, yeah, the cops pull up, and they're at the circus again, and they ask, hey, who's in charge? And Jimmy correctly says, it's Elsa. There you go. She's over there. And they go, okay, great. And then they go talk to Elsa. And Elsa goes, you need a warrant. And they go, that's true, but we're going to put a curfew in place, and that's going to ruin your whole shit. And Elsa's like, no, that's going to ruin our whole shit. Which, I guess, like, this becomes a real thing later on where Elsa's, like, so insistent of just, like, no, people will only see a freak show at night. If there is daylight out, they would throw up in the street. Like, it's like, yeah. What are you talking about, Elsa? Like, people will just come do shit whenever.
I would argue if there's a curfew in place that they would be more likely to come see the show during the day because they know they're not going to be able to do stuff at night. They're going to be looking for something to do.
Yeah, the customer has the same problem, actually. Yeah, it dirt's on both ends. Right.
Well, either way, this is already stupid, so we need to make it way stupider. So the twins, who are still the number one suspect for a murder, in case you forgot, just wander into the tents with the cop and go, hey, what's up? Like, there's no reason. Oh, my God. One of them, the dumb one, starts chewing on her nails, and then the smart, angry one makes her stop doing it. So I guess that's... something.
Like, it certainly is. Something.
Yeah, like, they've already established who these two characters are, and, like, it is really concerning that they decided that Bette and Dot, the two, like, crux characters of this series, of the season so far, are agonizingly one-dimensional. Like, they truly are just a bit backup character that they're like, you're a main character now. And like, I don't know about that.
Regrettably, the main character. The season will have you believe that's the main character of this season. Main characters, it's really hard for me to like, I don't know. It's very hard for me to distinguish like that these are characters, plural, not character. And that's because it's Sarah Paulson, who I know, just objectively is not a conjoined twin.
Is a singular woman. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's not in two pieces, yeah, as far as I know.
It's really hard to like think of them as being two characters because it's Sarah Paulson with two heads who is one lady. And I know this. It's not like watching Lindsay Lohan in The Parent Trap where she's playing both twins and they're separate people, so it's a little bit easier to differentiate. Like, this is just Sarah Paulson, but they have photoshopped an extra head on that sometimes talks differently than the other head does.
And it never looks good, for the record. So I think I finally nailed down one of the things that really bothers me with this effect. Is so instead of having like both heads tilted off to the side a little bit, you know, like both of them have like a 10 or 12 degree lean or whatever, it's just like one head is like more or less upright and the other one's cocked really hard to the side.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but I think it's because it makes my brain register. They just shot this scene normally and then tacked on a second head off at a side in a weird way. And so it just like kills any illusion chance they have because they didn't shoot it correctly. Yeah.
I think it's like a failure. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously like, I don't want to be totally unfair and be like, it's a cost saving thing for CG, but because it probably does make some weird stuff. If it's like, you have to look like tell all your actors, like look a little to the left and right of Sarah Paulson's head instead of like acting directly off her head and just adding the second one off to the side. Yeah, I get that. But like, I think you nailed it, Liz, when you were like, you know, because you know Sarah Paulson's not a conjoined twin. Like, this, I think this kind of only could work with, like, sort of a no-name actor, you know, because you just, the whole time, you're just staring at, like, yeah, they did okay work on this computer graphics. You know, like, you don't buy into it ever at any point when you're watching it. So,
yeah, especially because...
Or just have it be two different actors.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to be identical twins. They could just be, like... conjoined twins, but that's it. They were born at the same time and they're conjoined. They're not Because there's a term for that, right? Like twins that are born at the same time versus twins that are exactly. So like, just have them be two different actors, and then it'll be way easier for us, the audience, to differentiate which is which too.
You know what? Even if that weren't a thing, we're not doctors here. We're all playing fast and loose with biology this whole season, right?
Yeah, they've got telepathy. They talk to each other in their minds. Like, at this point, who cares?
You failed the test on episode 1.
Also, it's a show called Freak Show. Like, it's predicated on this being out of the ordinary. Yeah. So I think we could just suspend disbelief for there's two different guys.
Also, like, not to, like, sound, I don't know, like, insensitive, but this isn't a real person, nor is it a real thing that was in the show. But, like, I think that it would be more grotesque to see two different people fused together in one body than just Sarah Paulson with two heads. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But alas, the other thing is, like, going back to what Slow Beef said, is, like, I think it also is, like, really hard to see Sarah Paulson as being, like, Sarah Paulson's a conjoined twin. Because so many of the other freaks, quote-unquote, aside from, like, Evan Peters, are, like, an actual person who has, like, something different about them in real life. Like, has, like, some kind of abnormality. So it's not like an actor that they've done
is
up in
actually
makeup.
The world's smallest lady.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's just her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have like a bunch of those people. Now, granted, they do have a lot of their cast also in prosthetics, which borders on a bit insensitive for
it's
certain things.
It's a little
things.
Weird to go both ways at the same time, to like hire people with actual, it feels weird.
Heard.
And I don't know whether it would be better if they authentically casted and were like, okay, but you gotta be okay with being called a freak, or if they just didn't authentically cast and put everybody in prosthetics. You can really tell that especially like the Ma Petite, the world's smallest woman, IRL. They show her off at every given opportunity. Like, she's just in every scene that she can be, even though she doesn't do anything. Because they want to be like, look what we got in our show. Is that cool or what? And it's like, I mean, I guess, like, good for her. She's getting that money. But like, what do we get from this besides feeling weird about it? I don't know.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Like, it's gonna get worse this episode. This is such a bad season for, I don't know how to really describe it. Like, there's not really a word for it, or maybe there is and I just don't know it. But like, they're doing the thing that American Horror Story loves to do. God, do they love to do it. But like, this whole season gives them a pass and I hate it, which is the, oh, well, we're not being ableist or transphobic or racist. It's the show. Character. Yeah, it's a product of the time in the show that we're doing. And it's like, all right, man, you still don't got to put it in the show. Like, it's
that's the whole
anything.
Thing, right? Like, yeah, at the end of the day, you're the one who controls the pen that decides what makes it in and what doesn't, right?
Right.
Yeah, because, like, this is, like, a way more nuanced discussion than American Horror Story deserves, but, like, there's something to be said about, like, you can absolutely understand and empathize with bad and evil characters. They're not meant to be, like, black and white, like, definitely evil, and you shouldn't understand where they're coming from at all. In fact, good characters are understandable even when they're bad. So to have these characters that like are like, I'm the most racist evil person, also I was a real serial killer in real life, it's like, okay, well, you've just alienated your entire audience from ever being able to empathize with that character and not being uncomfortable. That was like Kathy Bates's character in the last season. It's like, you keep giving her these sympathetic arcs, but you're making her such an unredeemable piece of shit that if anybody ever feels sympathy for her, they're gonna feel bad because they shouldn't, because she's awful, and they don't get to have their cake and eat it too, but this whole season gives them a pass on it, and they love it. They, oh boy, do they love it.
they kind of gave themselves the pass too. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Like, well, what are we gonna do? Somehow we're allowed anyway. You know, but
anyway, time for another musical number. So the cops kind of just let them know, hey, we're going to be part of the story of this now. We're involved. You now have to deal with the cop arc. And they go, okay, that makes sense. We killed a cop. So, you know, that, right, that adds up that would be part of the story now. Well, it's time for the funny little toy store man to go back to the toy store where he is in his toy store. He's walking in. There's no one in there. And as he's like, boss, where are you at, boss? He sees a little toy robot on the ground that apparently was filled up with blood and has slowly been shitting the blood out because there is no way it would leave like a thick, perfect line like that. It needs to be refilled with blood. There's a blood trail out of the back of this tiny little toy that goes back like 12 feet. It's insane. I don't know how logistically you get that much blood in this robot. But either way, he finds the robot blood and follows it back, I think. Or no, this is where he goes through it.
No, okay.
So he like...
He does the thing that I hate in horror movies. Sorry, the horror movie enthusiast in me.
No, please. This is your spot, please.
I hate when characters do this in horror where like they see something like on the ground, like a blood trail, for example. Blood trail and footprints is like the two biggest culprits.
Oh, and they keep their fucking head down.
Yep, and they just look straight at the ground and never look around. Like, I'm sorry, the first thing I do is if there's a fucking pool of blood on the ground, I'm looking everywhere. I'm gonna be like, holy fuck, where did this come from?
Correct.
Is the thing still here
Correct.
That did this? Like, I'm not gonna be right. like, oh, better walk with my head down looking at the floor, like, so that I can follow this trail.
First sign of danger is no matter who you are, you temporarily embrace the male fantasy of being Jason Bourne and observing everything around you exactly. Like, that's what you need right away. Just like that terror instinct of where is everything? Where's every object? Is there anything I could swing at something like that?
Right. Yeah.
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 Absolutely. But yeah, no, Liz, you're right. He just kind of goes like, huh, guess I'll try to smell where this blood goes and just keep my face right on it.
I will look at my surroundings not even one time. I would rather die than look at my surroundings even once. And I have great news for that guy. That is what will happen because he walks. Okay, so like, and like this one's even worse because like peripheral vision is a thing. And if you work at a place long enough, you start to know it like the back of your hand. Like you where stuff is and where stuff isn't.
You know what else is a thing? And I'm willing to say this, not to be mean to Twisty, but I've seen what his clothes look like and what condition they're in. Peripheral smell. You know?
Yeah.
Most people can, like, smell a nasty-ass clown nearby. Like, if there's, like, a clown that's been in the woods and has murdered people and is, like, you know, covered in filth. In the middle of, like, a normal-ass toy store, I feel like you'd smell that clown pretty much right away.
Yeah, like, probably from, like, a distance. That's one thing, and that brings up a good point. And I have to, like, as much as I want to attribute it to American Horror Story, unfortunately, a lot of movies and TV shows are guilty of this, is not taking in all of the senses into consideration. And smell is a huge one. They never consider that. Like, Ty's right. If you're not watching along, you can tell by looking at Twisty, stinky. Stinky boy. Yeah. Nasty.
Absolutely.
Like, B.O., probably shit and piss and blood and filth and grime.
Corpse. Yeah. Like a bag filled with a corpse part, for example, as a thing that might start smelling.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. That's a good point.
And he has blood. Like, blood has a very... Well, I guess he is looking at blood on the ground, so maybe he wouldn't attribute that to the giant clown standing right next to him. But like,
yeah, he'd just be like, guess that robot left his blood everywhere.
We gotta stop selling these robots.
I feel like to modern horror, they tend to acknowledge smell nowadays, and it kind of adds something when like somebody walks in a room and they go, ah, like there's something like big in the, you know what I mean? And so like, it could even have helped here, but instead, no, he's just like, stealth giant dirty clown seems to have a drop on me.
So he's walking behind this robot and like following the blood trail, but truly keeping his head to the floor, just walks right past Twisty, who is, again, a huge guy, like 6'3 minimum, and just waltzes right past him, and then, like, finds his boss's head and kind of does a little, like, oh, and gets stabbed in the back by Twisty. You might ask, why did we need to have this scene or the scene that introduced the toy store in the diner? And the answer is, there is no reason. There's simply, nah. this scene serves zero purpose.
They just wanted to do it. One thing happens in this that, like, will be relevant later, and we don't actually need a scene for it, I would argue, and it's that he will give that robot.
Twisty gets a toy?
Yeah, he'll give that robot to a kid later, but, like, he could have just done that. If he would have pulled a robot out of his pocket, I'd be like, oh, I'm sure he got that when he was fucking around.
He's pulled balloons out of his ass. Yeah.
He just kind of gets up to some adventures, like, all the time. I would just assume he's constantly picking stuff up. Like, oh, this would be a neat little goodie. Like, I'm assuming he's always picking stuff up because he's just kind
of
meandering.
The most terrible adventure game character of all time, Twisty the Clown. Just going around like, I don't know, maybe I'll need this whipped cream pie in a couple hours. Guess I'll put this in my bag.
I imagine.
Except it's subtitled muffled screaming all the time, which is exactly what Twisty does.
Yeah, Twisty going on little murder adventures the same way I play Resident Evil, which is not touching any of my inventory until I've already beaten the final boss.
Right, exactly. I'm going to need all these blue herbs at some point. Well, actually, to be fair, you never use the blue herb. Come on. But anyway, whatever.
That's so true.
What, am I going to get poisoned?
Exactly. Yeah, come on now. It's like one enemy.
Well, now it's opening sequence time. And I noticed something this time around because I was watching it on a real TV that I didn't notice all the other times we've watched this intro, which is only one time, actually. But I didn't notice it last time. They have, like, a bunch of little dolls. We talked about how it was, like, stop motion. And they have, like, stand-ins for most of the characters in doll form in the opening sequence. They make the conjoined twins make out, like, all the time. Every scene that they're in. And I hate that. Why? That's awful. Why is it in the opening sequence? Are they like, is this scary? And it's like, no, but it is a little weird and it is making me uncomfortable. So maybe we shouldn't do it. Alas. That's what I get for paying attention to the opening sequence this time, I guess. Usually I just zone out during them or I just write a note while I'm doing it. I take the opportunity to write some more notes, but it's, party time, I guess. The circus, like, roof is having a feast, like a banquet for some reason. I guess maybe that's just how they have dinner every night, which no wonder you guys can't keep the lights on. You're having these big extravagant banquets for dinner, like, every night. And they're all chanting. Again, this is very much so them ripping off that movie, that I can't
Freaks?
Remember. Yeah, Freaks. The very Google Gobble One of Us vibes. But they're chanting Kill the Copper, which feels like it's a real not great thing to be chanting as a big group out in the open outside when you are, like, suspects number 1 through 50 when it comes to having murdered a police officer. And those police officers love just showing up whatever, so you never know when they're just going to be around. So maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And it's not clear why they are. In fact, Jimmy hates it. Jimmy's like, oh, we should not be doing this. And he, like, yells at him, and then he leaves. He storms out, and he's like, I got to go dig up that cop's body. And Evie, which is just the really tall lady who they call the Amazon woman, who's, like, average height for a tall woman, is helping him.
Kind of reaching, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just a tall lady. And she's like, you had to. Don't feel bad, Jimmy. You had to do it. He was going to take the twins. And I'm like, you've known the twins for, like, a day, maybe. I mean, at this point, it's 2 days because they killed the cop. But, like, who cares? Like, are you really going to give up you and your friends for the twins who you just met? like, and they haven't proven to, like, help at all.
Aren't, like, particularly, like, charming or endearing or anything, right? That's, like,
yeah.
I feel like that's a big problem with the twins is everyone is treating them like they're the most charming, lovely individuals possible, which, like, one of them is, like, nice and, you know, a sweet kid, but the other one is, like, kind of a sulky teen. Like, it's not this thing where I'm immediately like, oh, well, we need to protect them, obviously. Like, they don't have that vibe. They don't have the must protect baby factor. So, like, it's just weird when everybody's like, we have to do everything. The twins are the only thing that's going to save us, especially when we do see the twins perform and it's like, oh, so you stink.
Yeah, turns out that, like, you have to actually be able to, like, do a thing, usually, on top of just being a conjoined twin. It, like, people don't usually, unless they're, like, weirdos, don't usually like just staring at a person as they're standing on stage, like, wow, that person looks weird for, like, 40 minutes. Like, most people aren't, like, into that, usually. Other things usually have to, like, take place to keep their interest, usually.
It's like, how much can you pay to really, like, to stare at Ma Petite for, like, 20 minutes straight? Or, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna get the idea. Like, after it's like, okay, yep, found a real small lady. Okay, moving on, but...
Yeah, in fact, at the point we're at now in, like, human society, that's why TikTok exists, is because people have the attention span of, like, 20 seconds maximum, unless it's really interesting. And otherwise, they're just gonna go ahead and move on to the next thing. But they burn the cop's body, which I'm like, now you have not only a fresh grave, but you have a an unearthed fresh grave, and you're gonna burn a body. Like, I don't know. The only thing that this accomplishes is that they pull his badge out. That's literally it.
I'm getting incredible pick a path, choose your lane energy from you right now on, like, how they're handling this body of just like, oh, just pick what you're going to do and be done.
Yeah, because we stabbed the body like 180 times each in the last episode. Yeah. We made it like mincemeat and then we buried it. And then we unburied it. Now we're burning it. Like, you're just like,
just get quicklime and call it an evening. Fuck.
Feed it to me. He likes eating shit. Just do something, like,
right.
Grind him up into like food and feed him to some pigs or a dog or something. I don't
or
know.
Or like chickens. Yeah. If you have chickens, just put it in chicken feed. Fuck it. Yeah, why not?
But this literally the only reason they have this scene, because it doesn't make any sense thematically, is that they need the badge.
The cop's badge. Yeah, they need to have something that if someone was caught holding it would immediately make them culpable for the crime. Yeah. Mm.
But now it's time to go to our second location. This season has three locations so far. Twisty's fun murder bus in the woods, the circus. Actually, I guess technically four if you count the diner. And then
the hospital.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I think we're done with the hospital for the most part. But diner, circus, Twisty's fun bus, and then Dandy's house. Dandy is a delight in many ways, but also a freak, parentheses, derogatory, and not like the kind at the circus. Dandy and Gloria, in case you guys don't remember for some reason, because I'm not even sure if we talked about them in the last episode, because it was part three, and I'm not sure if Dandy and Gloria were in the last part of part three.
Oh, yeah, it's the person who just, like, says, like, freaks, and is watching them from the audience.
The little weird guy who's like, well, I say little, he's a grown-ass man in his 30s, and is very, like...
Whenever Liz calls a man little, it means, like, spiritually and mentally.
Because we do have some real little guys, parentheses real, in this season. Like, Meep, for example. Yeah. Like, we've got some little fellas. Yeah. These are spiritually little guys. And Dandy is a little guy, parentheses, derogatory. Like, he's a little gremlin, a little weirdo.
Imagine someone with Little Prince energy turned up to 1,000,000 who's also absolutely a weirdo in every sense of the word,
Just, like, radiates. Like, it's almost as if, you know, like, sometimes people will if they feel like uncomfortable or they are worried like they're going to be approached by a stranger like on public transport or something, they'll try to make themselves as weird as and off-putting as possible to get the conversation to end. That's dandy, except for he's not trying to get the conversation to end, and he isn't pretending. He is just extremely weird and off-putting, kind of like without doing anything. He just has like this off-putting aura.
I mean, let's get into the scene, because he has some behaviors that definitely lend to it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So we're at a dining table with Dendi and Dendi Mom, and they're 50 feet apart at a banquet-sized table at opposite ends doing the weird rich people thing, I guess. And then the maid brings in... dinner, which is just a bunch of snails, which apparently Dandy specifically requested and asked them to be made, and the maid explains, like, oh yeah, no, I put in a ton of effort, like I figured out how to do these, that kind of thing. And he starts immediately being like, I don't want them, they're bad, they're boring now, and then goes to like has an empty crystal glass like baby bottle where it's just got like a normal baby bottle nipple on the top, but then it's like a crystalline base. Which, why would you let someone have that?
Like, Bloody ever? Face would like, love I'm this just, guy. Like, in general, Bloody like, face that's, would love
that's
this.
Not an, there's no, like, this shouldn't exist. This should just shouldn't be a thing. Like, if, because if you're into baby play, why would you want it to be, like, a crystal thing? That seems so wrong. Feels like you're, like, totally blowing up the spirit of the thing, right? Like, what is it? Like, Gucci baby? Fuck off.
I think the sole Dandy defender has come online. No, I like Dandy. No, I think the thing is he's a very fun character, but, like, they kind of go with, like, he's been babied by his mom who's like, kind of crazy, even though he's, like, clearly in his, like, 30s or whatever. And yeah. She treats him like a little kid, and he acts like a little kid. But he's also himself got some serious, like, horror guy issues, you know?
Yeah, like, he's definitely, like, made out to be, like, a psychopath, like, American psychopath. Very much.
Yeah. I mean, the whole
Bateman energy.
The whole thing is, he's the counterpoint to, you know, the good-spirited people who are, from first blush at physical appearance, clearly, you know, quote-unquote freaks, as opposed to, he's this clean-cut country club motherfucker, this light Yagami-looking ass who is absolutely just serial killer psychopath in the back. So, like, that's the point, is there supposed to be this conflating thing. But, yeah, they do a really good job with making Dandy, like, super fucked up. I can't believe that, like, the characters I do want to be on screen the most right now are, like, Dandy and Twisty.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what I'm hoping for, yeah.
They get up to some funny stuff this season. Yeah, like, Dandy has the vibes of, like, Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory / Willy Wonka. Has never been told no, and because of that, is the world's most awful person. But even if he hadn't been that way, there is clearly something else going on that needs to be addressed and was not because of his mother babying him for forever. And that leads to some really interesting development for Dandy. And yeah, he's drinking from like a crystal baby bottle, which is weird because like even though like his whole deal is like he's very childish and like he wants to play with toys and like is always bored, he doesn't act like a baby. Like it's not like... It's not right. like yeah. baby play. It's not like Bloody Face from season 2. Like he doesn't have like a baby complex.
It feels like they found this like crystal baby bottle and they were like, that's so dead on metaphorically for what we want this character to be. And then they made the mistake of having the character directly interact with a metaphorical object. So it's like, what, but he wouldn't do that. Like, yeah, it represents him, but he wouldn't use it.
But he does.
And yeah, here we are.
Yeah, like, he's kind of throwing a little tantrum, because he's like, his big thing is, like, he doesn't like being bored, and he's like, the snails are boring, this is boring, I don't want to eat this anymore, I want to drink my alcohol, And then his mom is like, oh, you shouldn't drink. You shouldn't drink. I hate what it does to you when you drink. Dandy, yeah. I wish you wouldn't drink. And she mentions something in passing about that Cushing girl, like a past incident. And he's like, I didn't touch that lady. And it's like, oh, okay. My not involved in human trafficking shirt sure is getting me asked a lot of questions answered by my not involved in human trafficking shirt. And she's like, but I need a grandbaby. And he's like, ew, babies are boring. And I'm like, all right. I mean, you could have just said like, ew, no, or something. Boring right, is yeah. not what
There's
I think.
There's a lot of words I would use to describe babies as someone who like doesn't particularly want to have kids and like reasons I would not want to. Boring's not really
yeah.
on that list.
Nah, they're not,
like,
yeah,
they yeah, if anything, too much excitement. Yeah. Not enough sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, from what I understand, right. they are like nonstop necessitating for attention all the time from the time they come out of there. Sometimes even before then. So boring is definitely not what I would consider a baby to be.
Let me, as the dad in the podcast, just say, yeah, you both nailed it. You're absolutely right. Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of words I'd use. Boring? Definitely nah. not. Definitely not.
Yeah. And so he's like, no, I'm not going to have any babies. Bye. And then he like storms out and she's like, no, Dandy, where are you going? And he's like, I'm going to St. Petersburg, where they have real caramel corn. And I'm like, hell yeah, brother, get you some of that
Not
real
that cardboard
caramel corn.
They serve at the freak show. And I was like, my man needs to get to Chicago and get that caramel and cheese together. Oh, Dandy would love it. I'd be like, oh, he'd be so into that. See, that's freak positive. We can fix him. Bring him to Chicago.
Yeah, like when he was like, I want that real caramel corn. I'm like, all right, hell yeah. This is the most like rational thing you've said so far. Like he gets it. And the maid, Dora is her name. After he storms out, Dora comes in and is like, Miss Gloria, just so you know, I found the neighbor's cat dismembered in the backyard behind the shed. And I am like super sure that it was your son that did it. Also, there's a serial killer kind of doing the same thing to, like, people, and it is probably your son, if we're being honest. Like, just kind of gesturing vaguely at where Dandy was, like, most rational people would be like, yeah, you know what, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But his mom is like, no, my son would never. My son is such a good, sweet boy. He would never do anything like
He's
that.
Just
I'm not
bored.
Sure why she talks like this, because they're in fucking Florida, by the way. So I don't know where this comes from. Maybe they had to move because he was like murdering cats somewhere else. But
they're both like very cartoonish, I think, right? Yeah. Where Dandy's like, no, I don't like it, mother, and she's like, oh, Dandy, you're my favorite boy, you know. Zip mommy yeah. up now, snake, or whatever, yeah, so.
And so that's where that ends up. Now, it's time for, I forgot what Jimmy's mom's name was for this note, that's why it says Jimmy's
Esther,
mom.
Ethel,
yeah.
Esther or Ethel. Ethel, there it is.
Yeah, Ethel, like, comes up to Dot and Bette, who are, like, writing in their journal or something. How do you think they handle that? Do they work out like custody of who gets to use the hands? Because like, what if one wants to write in the yeah. journal and the other one doesn't?
Like, are they ambidextrous with writing? Do you think? Do you think you could tell which one was which based on the handwriting?
Probably.
Like if yeah, one yeah, uses right? left hand and one uses right, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't think they do that. I think they just probably because Sarah Paulson is an ambidextrous, so like they could never do that. Probably.
We don't know for a fact, mind you. No.
I guess only the right head really gets to journal. The other one can like I don't know, just think about it.
What's what I'm saying is try like, to remember. Do they obviously like control? It's not like a mech. They're not like piloting half the body. Like they both have full control over the whole body.
I don't know. You that's a good metaphor though. Maybe that's how we have to think of this now.
Like they're not the Power Rangers. Like I don't. They're just.
Aren't they though? The conjoined mech. I'm in. Okay.
Yeah, this has got a lot more interesting with that in mind.
Voltron system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not relevant to the scene at all. I was just curious. So Ethel's like, hey, stop writing in your journal or whatever. You got to come practice your act. And they're like, we don't have an act. And she's like, yeah, that's the problem. We need to fix that.
Well, see, they're even like, they're like, we don't perform. And she's like, no, like, you're part of a show. You have to, or else you don't get to eat. Like, that's part of the deal here.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah, that seems pretty straightforward. Hey, you're living at the circus. That means you perform at the circus. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, or I do something. I cook, I clean something. Yeah, I have a job.
Yeah. Even like supermodels.
Saving you from
like
murder. Charges wasn't free, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Even like supermodels who literally just get the look at the word. And we'll find out what they do in a minute.
Just like, hey, yeah, you need to figure something out. And then Big Boy shows up, a guy who's just a big guy. That's his whole act. He's a big man.
some of our younger listeners might know this is Michael Chiklis, who this was kind of a good get, I guess, for American Horror Story, because he was coming off of, like, super popularity off the show The Shield, basically, as, like, you know, the cop who breaks all the rules or whatever, but then the show kind of just, like, you know, his whole career plummeted after this, so this, I think, was his, like, last kind of thing, was American Horror, but yeah, so.
He falls into the category that we see, like, kind of frequently with the show, and with, like, a returning cast, like, that is repeatedly in several seasons for, like, an anthology, is you will frequently get one or more, usually it's Jessica Lange, actors who just are so good at acting and so much better, like, on a different level, that they don't feel like they're in the right show. It feels like they're playing a character that's been transplanted from a different show. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Del feels like. Del's the big boy. And, like, it feels like he's from a different, better show. And it just happened to also be circus-themed. And now he's here.
Which is not helped by the fact that he is joined with another one of the best actors they have in this show regularly, Angela Bassett. So it's just like two of the best acting characters plop into the middle of the scene at once. And it's just kind of like, oh, hey, okay, well, I guess we pay attention to you now.
Yeah.
I hate Del, and not for the reasons they want me to hate him. You know, like, he's supposed to be a kind of an unlikable character, which we'll get into, but, like, he just, like, his actions suck, where you're like, I don't think he would actually do that, or that's not consistent with that scene, so, you know, be on the lookout for that fun stuff.
Yeah, he's the kind of character that, like, you can't just, like, bucket a cold water him in the middle of a cast we've already met and started to establish, because, like, for him to not be, like, one-dimensional or insufferable, you have to kind of understand why he is the way he is for you to care. Otherwise, he's just some goon who's, like, being a dick for no reason, and we don't really care about him. But, like, it's obvious from the time that they show up, like, ah, this is a named character who will be a repeating part of the show and is going to be important.
He shows up with a vehicle. That's the thing. Like, it's got, like, a named vehicle with, like, art on the side and stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, so you're important. Like, someone pulls up in the Batmobile and you're like, oh, well, that's Batman. He's important. You know? Same kind of shit. You show up in, like, a cool trailer, and then you and Angela Bassett pop out. I'm like, okay, those are characters.
Yeah, those are, like, anime main characters. Like, if this was an anime, they would have, like, blue and pink hair for sure.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, like, three characters with just, like, black standard hair just down in, like, a bowl cut, and then, yeah, like, spiky blue and pink hair show up. It's like, okay, yeah, all right.
You're gonna have an arc, and they do. So we're being introduced to Del and Desiree. Desiree is his wife. We'll get into what their thing is later. What makes them circus performers. But what you need to know is he's a big, strong man, and that's about it. That's it. You can tell by looking at him that's his deal. He's a big, beefy boy. And you might be thinking, like, oh, well, is he, like, grotesquely large? Like, is he, like, comically large?
No.
No, nice. Not really. He's just a big guy.
He's like the biggest cop in a Midwestern town.
He's not like Dwayne The Rock Johnson sized. Like, it's not like you look at him and you're like, holy shit, that's a big man. You're like, oh, that's a pretty big boy. That's a big beefy boy. He eats his Wheaties.
He's like a really strong football coach.
I think where it kind of like breaks apart is like, he's like a circus act. He's not really a freak show guy, you know?
Yeah. That's, this show does not give a shit what the difference between those two things are. They forgot that circuses usually have like performers that do like acrobatics and shit, and that a freak show is like usually a walking exhibit that you like walk through.
There's a synonym for freak show called sideshow, because it's the show on the side of the circus, like a part of a bigger circus, not just the whole thing and a singing lady, you know.
That's the funniest part to me. I even have a note later when we get to yet another fucking musical sequence, because there will be a few of those this episode, so American Horror Story thinks a circus is like a bunch of people who look different and then people who can sing. That's what they think a circus is, clearly. They're like, you either have to look interesting enough that people want to look at you for like more than 20 seconds, or you gotta sing.
You know, I figured it out. They went to an ICP concert and were like, this is a circus, right?
They were like, that's the Dark Carnival.
Yeah, okay. Research complete. Let's just do one of these. Yeah.
I honestly think an ICP concert would be more interesting than what happens later.
I would have so much more fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Dell and his wife are here, and we get a flashback. They go to talk to Elsa to be like, we want to join your circus. And we get a flashback to 3 weeks ago in Chicago. And it's Dell walks up to his own trailer and is like, hey, who are you guys standing outside my trailer? And then the two guys are like, our friend's in there banging some lady to like fix him or whatever. And then we get to see inside the trailer where some guy is banging Desiree and he's like crying and he's like, you're a miracle worker. Because of you, I'm going to be able to have sex with real women. And I had to actually go on the fucking wiki to understand what this was trying to imply. And we'll get there in a second. Uh-huh.
It's bad. They're trying to fix that this man is gay, is the idea. Yeah, and they're doing it in the absolute worst way possible. And the fact that they imply that it worked is terrible. It's like, that's the thing. They really shouldn't have started this with, yeah, this works.
Yeah, and also it's gonna be for an even more confusing reason that you think. A more confusing and, like, in my opinion, worse reason. Because they're like, you think we're gonna be transphobic? No, we're gonna be something even more specific and worse. And it's like, that's not, like, good. Like, just because other shows don't do that, it doesn't mean you should because no one else is doing it. Like, it's not good. But yeah, so, and then Dell is like, that's my wife, and kills that guy. And I'm like, what led up to this? Like,
that's, yeah, right?
This looks like, this seems like a situation that was like very much so like discussed beforehand. It's not like a spur of the moment, like, do you want to come back to my trailer? Are you gay by any chance? I can do something about that.
Yeah. It seems like a known thing. Also, Dell's reaction is like very, and I think they're trying to like give him like a roid rage image thing or something, like a bunch, when they're like, oh, he's a strong man and you know how they get. But like, hey, steroids didn't exist at that point. Like, there was a period of time, roughly at the time of this strong man, where the idea of like wild enhancement that people were going crazy about was a guy taking a lot of niacin and a cup of coffee. Like, just a bunch of B vitamins and caffeine was enough to be like, that guy's fucking juicing. So like, no, he wouldn't be on trend. He wouldn't be like fucking losing his mind. That wasn't a thing yet. It wasn't available.
Also, like, they're going for like a berserker like rage type deal, and I'm like, that's not like, that's not a thing that just like happens. And we'll see in a few minutes that like This is a historical trait that he has of, like, making impulsive, violent decisions to the behest of everybody around him because it directly affects them and he does not consider their input whatsoever. And it usually ends with someone getting hurt or dying. That's, like, not a thing that goes unnoticed, typically. And it's weird that it's only being noticed now because they're kind of, like, on the run. And they're not, like, accepted by any other circus because they're like, no, you're that guy who killed that one dude. And I'm like, I don't think that's, like, the only thing he would have done. We see he's in this circus for, like, 25 minutes before he starts causing problems in Elsa's circus.
Right.
So, like, I doubt he was, like, super chill at all the other circuses he was a part of. But alas, we'll get there. So this is where we learn about what they do. And by what they do, I mean he is a strong man. Ta-da. That's it.
Yeah.
He is a guy who can, I guess, lift heavy stuff, which is going to be crazy because the job that he gives, or that Elsa gives him, is, like, not what you would give the strong man.
Right? Yeah.
And also, like, if I was him, I would be insulted. I'd be like, you're putting me on clerical duty? I'm like, I'm the strong man. I have a thing that I do. But
well, yeah, because she's like, yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Well, because, yeah, it's weird because at first she's like, you know, I don't really have, I can't afford you. And she does it nicely. I can't afford people of your talent. And she's like, he's like, I'm afraid, you know, where you're the last stop here, to be honest. We, you know, we need help. And, you know, there's not a lot of us circus folks left. She says, okay, great. Let me see your hands. Good. You could do some manual labor. And have you ever done carnival barking before? And it's like, Elsie's a strong man. Like, you know, no.
He does a thing already. He has a gimmick that he does. Like, you can just have him
maybe
do that.
Maybe on the manual labor, but I don't think he's a craftsman, you know? I mean, he's working showbiz, but...
you ever built a table? at this point, just so we're clear, so the only, like, inkling that we get that, like, Desiree has anything, like, different about her is that when she's having sex with the weird crying sweater vest guy, she asks him if he wants her to use some of her extra bits to get him off. And it's not what you're thinking, surprisingly. I mean, it kind of is, but it's also very not, I guarantee. When we meet her and when this scene is taking place in the present, not the flashback, she's wearing, like, a wraparound, like, mink coat thing. So, like, we can't really see her body in, like, a dress, very classy dress. And she says something in passing about how, like, us freaks have to stick together, she says to Elsa. And she's like, oh, freaks? Like, what are you? Are you culturally appropriating being a freak? And so Desiree has to, like, prove what is different about her. So she walks over to Elsa and takes off the mink coat. And she's naked from, like, the rib cage up, except for some nipple tassels. Which I'm like, that's a wild way to walk around your everyday life, is just a skirt that starts at the ribs that goes to the ground, a mink coat, and nipple tassels. That's it.
She's a jogger, you know? Yeah. Like,
I'm like, absolutely insane way to navigate day-to-day life. And then we get to see the front of her, and she's got three boobs. Is that crazy or what? She's got three boobs.
Wow.
Like the lady in that one Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he's on Mars or whatever.
Yeah.
It's called Total Recall, Ty. Yeah.
Thanks. That's the one. Yeah.
You got it.
And then this is where they're like, don't worry. We're not just really insensitive. She's got three boobs, and that's what's weird about her. Also, she's intersex. And it's like, well, if you were going to go all in on the three boobs thing, then just make her that. Just instead of insulting intersex people, just have her have the three boobs thing. Like, the three boobs thing
also
is so clearly a diversion.
If this is just, like, a show where you stand on a stage and people, like, look at you and take you in, okay, the three boob thing, you could do that, you know, just have a dress that's a little, you know, revealing, shows a little bit of cleavage or whatever, but, like,
Yeah, I know where you're going. Yeah, this, like, right?
What are we doing with the rest of it, huh? Like, what kind of show are we putting on?
Yeah, because, like, yeah, they've made clear that, like, children come to these. That's why they couldn't have the curfew. Like, the kids are going to show up to this. alas. So that's Desiree's thing. She is an intersex woman who also has three boobs, and they've decided to give her three boobs, I guess, because they knew that it would be wildly insensitive just to have her be intersex and treat her the way that they treat her character and her characterization. So, and also, can we just, like, also address that, like, in a world where, like, people, doctors, sorry, not people, doctors, are throwing up when they see a conjoined twin, like, once you've seen a conjoined twin, three boobs is like, oh, I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I guess. Cool. Cool third boob. Like,
this is fine and all, but do you have a strong man by any chance? Like, all right.
Honestly, that's like plus 50%. I already saw plus 100% with a whole extra head. There were already two boobs. So going from two to three, like, that's fine. But there were already multiple, you know? Like, and we, two to five. Let's talk.
And we started this exhibit with a lady who's really, really tall. So, like, I'm already on cloud nine.
You have anybody who at least finger bang my wife extra good or something? Anyway.
Oh, we keep one in the back. It's fine. So.
It's Jimmy. Get out.
The show will refer to her, and she will refer to herself as a hermaphrodite, which is not a term that is currently used or accepted in really any civilized way, because it is inaccurate. Yeah. And it's not a term that people use anymore. But this show loves saying slurs, so I doubt they care. I really doubt they've considered that. Nor do they care. Also, I guess they're like, people in the 60s wouldn't have known what intersex was, which is not true at all. That term was way predates the 60s.
So Elsa just asks point blank, what does that make you, Del? Which, yeah, I presume is to ask if he's straight or not. And Del just responds with the happiest man on earth, which honestly, based, fuck you. Yeah, not your question to ask. Suck my ass.
Yeah, also, yeah, in case it's not obvious, Del is very a wife guy for Desiree. Like, very a wife guy for Desiree. He's like, this is my smoking hot wife with three boobs. And he's, like, really into it. Which, hell yeah, brother. If I had a hot wife with three boobs, I would be the happiest man on earth too. Yeah, that would be sick.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that. And, like, Elsa's like, all right, I guess you can be our Barker or whatever, because you got fucked up hands. And I'm like, sure. Do you not have one of those? Does no one else in your, like, circus have that, like, skill? Does he have that skill? Like, that's not what he came here for. It's not like he was the Barker at the last circus. He's the strong man. But alas, it's time for Gloria to make a friend. It's time for Gloria to make a friend.
Yes, 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 yes. It's time for someone else to inexplicably not be able to recognize Twisty is not a regular clown. Gloria is driving down the street in her big ass car, her big ass old ass car, Oldsmobile Bentley looking ass, just driving down, tooting along, and sees Twisty walking along the side of the road and is in fact still in his very dirty clown outfit with his weird dirty sack. And she just pulls up next to him and goes, hey, do you do parties? My boy is so sad and he needs a friend. Would you come be a clown for me? And Twisty is silent, but, like, gives a confused head tilt. Like, can you not see me? Oh, well. It's just like, okay, yeah, I'm on board. Whatever.
Twisty has this, like, element about him where he doesn't ever directly break the fourth wall, but he definitely has, like, a The Office style monologue going on in his head where he's, like, definitely making funny quips in his head, but we, the audience, can't hear them because there's not, like, an inner monologue for us to hear, and we can only see his eyes because he has a mask from the nose down. So you can
Twisty in that meme where Jim's looking at the camera. Yeah,
yeah.
I get it.
Like, that's what he's doing almost all the time, but like not breaking the fourth wall when he does it. And it's really funny because he's like, he shouldn't be able to express that much with just his eyes, but like he does. Like the actor does a good job of like, and he's not like overly cartoonish. Mm-hmm. To be clear, like Twisty's not like super cartoony, but like this actor does like a good job of like, you mean she doesn't see the murder gore on me from like killing like six people? Okay, whatever. All right, I'll get in your car. God, I love Twisty. Meanwhile, our specialist little boy who said he was going to go to St. Petersburg or whatever is actually at the circus, and he's like harassing Jimmy. Like, you got to let me be in the circus. I'm a little guy. And Jimmy's like, I know you just want to bang the twins. And Dandy's like, that is weirdly not what I want to do. I know it looks like I would be that kind of a guy. I'm not. I just want to be in the circus. And Jimmy's like, you're just a guy. You're a little weird. You have special little guy energy, but you're like just a fella. Nothing is weird about you. And he's like, listen, it may look like I'm kind of normal, but on the inside, oh boy, there's some real freak shit going on in there. I should be in the circus. And Jimmy's like, but you don't have fucked up lobster hands like me. And then he tells Dandy to fuck off. And Dandy's like, I'm so upset. My feelings are hurt. And he storms out and throws a tantrum. He goes to his car and just starts slamming his head on the steering wheel until it starts bleeding. That's it. That's the scene. Yeah.
He yells, I hate you, and beats his head against the steering wheel. Because I guess we needed to establish that he, in fact, does really hate this guy, which I picked up on before this scene. But, you know, hey, do what you gotta.
Maybe we should have him yell it.
I mean, I kind of like that in a way. Like, I like the way the actor did it, you know, and sort of like, because you got to do this hate you thing where you're like not quite clear what you're hearing right away. I kind of dug it, truthfully, yeah. But you know.
It does like sell the weird baby man energy too. Like, it's a very childish tantrum to be having behind the wheel of a car. Like, it's a little bit of a good presentation on that front, right? Like, he's driving a car, but also acting like he is, in fact, 3 years old. Yeah,
it's a very childish meltdown.
It has that like good horror element of like you have that like second of wait, what am I hearing, seeing exactly, you know? And then like it kind of dawns at what's going on.
I think if Dandy hadn't been as overtly upset when he stormed out in the previous scene, this would have hit a little better. Okay. I think like that's where their mistake was they had already delivered the information, and if they hadn't, if he just like walked out and was like fairly composed and was like, okay, have a great day.
Yeah.
And then the next scene was him, I hate you, just like beating his head against the wheel. I think that would hit so much harder and make him also just like way scarier of a character.
I like that edit. That's a good note.
If only American Horror Story could hear our detail. Notes.
Yeah.
It would be a much better show.
It really would, though.
Well, at home, we do have Mom sitting there waiting for Dandy to come back. Because apparently he's been gone for, like, a grip? For a bit, I guess. And he starts running upstairs screaming, I hate you, I hate this town, I hate the circus, I hate everything, etc. Like, again, just really having like a teen meltdown. And she explains, no, wait, honey, I got you exactly what you want. You're not going to believe this. And brings him to his room and shows him that she has brought home Twisty the Clown.
Yay.
And, I think that's a really good place to end it, is Dandy walking into Dandy's room, and there's a full croquet set up ready to go, and Twisty the Clown at the other end of it.
And they're going to have a great time. They're going to have so many adventures.
They're going to have the best time. Yeah, I got to say, I'm so glad with how this is turning out. I don't like most of this season, but Twisty and Dandy together are awesome. I love. They're so fucking weird. I love them. I can't wait to share more of them with you, class. Oh, my God.
Me too.
Yeah, so until next time, everybody, look forward to finally the two good parts of the show forming one best part of the show. See y'all next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Later.